All right, so as mentioned, I'm Deaconess Kim Biltman. This is Elliot and Sylvia. The reason they're here was accidental, but I'll explain it a little later on in the presentation when we get to a photo of the reason why. So, I am blessed to serve as a missionary with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. How many of you know a missionary? Anybody? I mean, a lot of you know me, I guess. All right, besides me, do you know any others? How many of you maybe met a missionary while you were here at the gathering? Okay, awesome, good. So a missionary is someone that's been sent out to share the good news about Jesus. And the Missouri Synod, we send out missionaries all over the world. And you can actually see on the map where. So see this big yellow region? Anyone know what part of the world that is? North America. We have missionaries right here in North America, if you can believe it. How about this one? Yep. So we call that region Latin America and the Caribbean. And we have missionaries there. We also have missionaries here. Africa and also Asia, and this big blue region we call Eurasia, and that's where I get to serve, and more specifically in the country of Germany, and even more specifically in the state of Saxony, which is right around there, if I can hold my hand still enough. But there's a map of Germany up here. If you want to check it out after the session, you can find where Saxony is. Who's heard of Saxony? Anybody? Hey, wow, a lot of you. There must be some Lutherans in the room. So yeah, if you don't know, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was started by people who came from Saxony. And in fact, Wittenberg is about a half hour north of us by train. We're right in the heart of Lutherland. I live in Leipzig. That city is real close to Wittenberg and a lot of other places that were significant during Luther's time. So a lot of people think, oh, well, then what are you doing in Saxony? I mean, that's like our heritage. That's our homeland. That's where we came from. Why in the world would we be sending missionaries there? That's a really good question. But to be honest, the last 80 plus years have been pretty hard on this part of the world. World War II, followed by communism. A lot of people lost their faith during those years, and it was a really hard time for a lot of people. There are some great stories of people who held on to their faith, but faith was penalized and looked down on during those communist years especially, and I have a lot of, it's about 90% atheists in the city I live in. So, and we also have a lot of people coming in from other countries as well. So before I get too deep into that, I just want to share briefly, as quickly as possible, a little of my background so you kind of know where I came from, who I am. This will be fun. Get ready for a young picture of that guy if you're here with Pastor Shockman. So this is my family. This is me right here. And my nephew's back there. His dad's here. but anybody grew up or go to camp at all? Or anybody go to? Yeah. So camp's a lot of fun. So my dad is a pastor. These three brothers in the front are pastors. And when I was born, my dad took a call to be a Lutheran camp director. So my first 12 years of life, I grew up at camp, if you can imagine how fun that would have been. So living the camp life, campfire devotions at night, singing songs, and playing outside, running around the woods, all that good stuff. And all my role models were, of course, the camp counselors, many of whom were going to Concordia, studying to be a church worker of some sort. So I was kind of in this Lutheran bubble for my first 12 years of life, quite honestly, a little bit, yeah. But it really shaped and formed my faith, and I learned so much and was just really excited to know about God's love for me through Jesus. And then when I got a little bit older, we moved away from camp, and I started being a part of this group, Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. And I think for most of you, it's very obvious, like, there are a lot of non-Christians around us, right? Or am I wrong? Yeah? Yeah. Okay. For me, at 12 years old, when we moved away from camp, this was eye-opening for me when I started doing this group, Ongoing Ambassadors for Christ. It was the very first time in my life that I consciously was aware that there were people who did not know about Jesus, because I was like in this Lutheran camp bubble my whole first 12 years. So that really shook me to the core, and I realized, like, hey, it's really important that we're telling people about Jesus. So to give you a little background on the German side of things, now you can see Aaron back there, Pastor Biltman, as a little boy. Huh? Raise your hand, Aaron. Well, my mom's parents were brought over from Germany as children, so they taught me a few words and phrases when I was growing up, you know, ich heiße Kim, or ich bin 8 Jahre alt, that sort of thing. My name's Kim, I'm 8 years old, well, not anymore, but And then my oldest brother, the one that was holding me in that first picture, Chris, he went over as in the military and was stationed in Germany. And so our family went over to visit him, and I was like 10 at the time. And I thought, oh, I know some German words. Like, I'm going to try to use them. So I went into this store, and I picked up an item and said, wie viel kostet das? How much does this cost? And the guy responded in German, and I had no idea what to do because I wasn't expecting it. So I just dropped the item and ran out of the store and found my parents. Oh, I don't know. He talked to me in German. I don't know what he said. So that was kind of, you know, a little bit of an encouragement to, like, want to learn this language for real. So when I got into high school, I studied German. And then my family went back as soon as the wall came down and the land of Luther was a little bit more open and accessible. My dad wanted to go visit all those sites. So we went over and we went into a church, almost empty. And I said to the pastor, what's going on? Is everybody on vacation this week or what? And he said, no, on any given Sunday in Germany, less than 2% of the whole country goes to church. So that was the moment where God started working on my heart to say, hey, I think I want to go back to Germany as a missionary someday and try to share God's love with the people here. So when I started college, I ended up in the deaconess program. That's another long story we don't have to get into, but I told Deaconess Kristen, who's down at the Concordia Chicago booth, if any of you are considering deaconess ministry, go talk to her. I said to her, I really feel called to serve in Germany. If there's a chance to do an internship over there or something, I think that would be really cool. And I was interested in working with youth and music, and I spoke German. And right around the time of my internship, this pastor here, Markus Nitzke, he was planting a church in Germany, and he asked the Missouri Synod, do you have anybody that's interested in working with youth and music and speaks German? So God prepared the way for me to serve my internship there, and it was a wonderful experience. And then I took my first call to a church in Champaign, Illinois. In fact, I spent 8 years doing youth and family ministry there, and it's been kind of cool walking around the gathering, seeing some of these youth walking around with their own youth today. That's really neat. And one of my youth from St. John, Champaign, is actually director of the Mass events, so pretty proud of her too, but proud of them all. And then I took a call to another wonderful place, Concordia University, Wisconsin. I was director of campus ministry there for 7 years and loved it, loved my students. And we went and would have this guy visit us every once in a while that's in the back there. And at some point, he mentioned to me the need for someone to go back to Germany. And I wasn't totally sold immediately. I really, really loved Wisconsin, loved Concordia, wasn't really ready to leave, but my dad had been going to Germany repeatedly ever since that first Luther tour. He kept going back every year, taking groups to see those Luther sites. And one day, he came back and he told me a story. He said, you know, Kim, I was in Germany at this church, and they have so many refugees there, people coming over from Iran, from Afghanistan. It was amazing. And he said, I was standing on the end of an aisle, and this guy comes up and stood next to me, and he didn't seem to know what was going on. The service was in German. So I just held my hymnal and shared it with him, and he followed along and all that. And then it was actually a year later he was telling me this story. And he said, hey, Elliot, you want to come here? You're going to sit there? So a year later, he said, I went back to that same church. And that same guy that he held the hymnal for came up to him and said, hey, remember me? My dad was like, I guess, yeah. And then he said, yeah, well, you helped me follow along in the hymnal last year. And that was my first time ever in that church. A friend had invited me. I couldn't find him. I just sat wherever. And because you helped me that day, I decided I would come back. I might not have come back otherwise. And now that I came back, I've been baptized and confirmed. I'm able to receive the Lord's Supper, and I'm just so thankful. And so, I was really moved by that. And just think of that. Such a simple thing that any one of us could do at any time is just helping someone follow along in the service. You see someone new in church, just help them out. But you never know what kind of simple act of kindness, simplest thing that you can do, might pave the way for something amazing. So I was really amazed by that story, but still had no idea that God was calling me to serve in that ministry. But I'm really thankful that he did and that I did accept that call when it came. And the place where all that work among the Iranian and Persian, I'll say Persian a lot just to clarify, Iran and Afghanistan were all part of Persia. And they speak a language that's called Persian in Iran. Oh, sorry. It's called Farsi, and in Afghanistan it's called Dari. So we just usually try to use the word Persian so it's all inclusive and doesn't like single out one nationality over the other. Tried to not pay attention to him. He's just, someone in the hotel lobby gave him that bone. So anyway, started right here. A pastor 20 some years ago started reaching out to some Persians in the community. They would come to church in German and they would hear everything and not really know what was going on. And then afterward, he would sit down with a translator and just explain it all to them. And so it was a couple guys from that group that went and moved to Berlin, and that's how the bigger church there got started. They were just so eager to share their new faith. They joined a church there, and then more Iranians started coming there, and Afghans. So, but when that initial pastor that started the Persian outreach in Leipzig, when he retired, then our congregation said, well, we'd like to call a pastor, and we'd like also for a mission pastor to come who can really focus on the work among Persians. So Pastor Hugo Gavers came, and he opened up an outreach center, because this church right here doesn't look like much, does it? It was actually after World War II they built this structure because the original church building was destroyed in the war. And it was always meant to be temporary, and it was really hidden away. Up in the woods, no one knew where this was. It was impossible to try to explain to someone how to get there. And so Pastor Gavers said, well, we need a place that's more visible to people, more accessible. So he opened up an outreach center that's just east of the center of town called Die Brücke. And Die Brücke means the bridge. And that's really what we try to do as Die Brücke, as a bridge, is to build bridges. We work with a lot of people that are more on the margins of society, not only refugees and immigrants, but this neighborhood has a lot of Germans who struggle too. And so it's historically been a more economically depressed area in the city. And so there's a lot of people around us that are in need and that come looking for help or guidance. And so we try to build bridges, not only to help those who are marginalized be accepted and navigate society, but ultimately build bridges that they can connect to the church, connect to Christ, and know that they're loved and accepted by Him. And so we meet here with people, we share the gospel with them, and that church building that's so far away, it's kind of hard to connect them to the church with that there. And then one day, if you're standing at this door and you do a 180, this is what's right across the way. There's a nice park here. It's a great place to sit and meet people, talk to people. People hang out there all the time. And then there's that church. And you remember what I told you about East German times, a lot of churches were closing down. People were discouraged from practicing their faith. So this church had been shut down and emptied. And no one was going there. They weren't using it. So we said, hey, maybe this is our opportunity to get out of that temporary structure and come to a place near the center of town, right across from the outreach center. So we said, hey, can we use this for our worship services? And they said, yeah, you can actually buy this building. So what do you think we paid for this church building? Any guesses? 5,000? Any other guesses? 250,000? Good guesses? $1. We have a winner. Well, 1 euro, actually. But yeah, but there's a catch. 1 euro plus the cost to restore it. So it was in really bad shape, and the Historical Preservation Society helped fund some of that, as well as a lot of donations, many of which came from the Missouri Synod. It had been a part of, there's an event that happened just before the wall came down called the Peaceful Revolution, which led to the wall coming down, and this church was a part of that history. So it's on a walking tour for the Peaceful Revolution. So the city historical society said, yes, please restore it to its original splendor. But everything, how it originally looked, had been painted white over, and the flooring, everything was gone. It was in really bad shape, but this is how it looks today. So this is where we worship. And worship is a very central part of our ministry there, as you can imagine. And we do services in German, in Persian, as well as a combined service then once a month with German and Persian together. And this is an example of one of those services, and a picture, even though it's a little blurry, someone took it with their phone and sent it to me. For me, it has a lot of meaning because here, okay, you see me here, an American, Pastor Hugo's actually South African, and then we have some newer Germans from the neighborhood who've come to join us, some Afghans and Iranians, and old-time long-time German members, all together around one altar, receiving the body and blood of the Lord. And to me, that's, you know, it doesn't matter what our differences are, our backgrounds, language that we speak, where we came from. This shows us that we are one in Christ. It's a statement. It's a fact. So. So when we have worship in Persian, this is what the slides look like. We don't have a hymnal yet, but I work each week to create the slides for worship. And I think in my PowerPoints, I probably have enough now to really have a good foundation for a Persian hymnal. So we're hoping to get to that point soon. But the newest thing that we took on this year is doing now the intro. It's also sung. So this is the intro from not this past Sunday, 2 days ago, but like a week ago. And when I first came, Pastor Hugo is a wonderful, incredible man, but music isn't really his strength. So I said, well, hey, I can step in and start playing some music for church. They were just using like recordings. And so before I started speaking Persian, I started learning musically how to sing Persian and play the songs. And we started translating more songs, and we have some guys that write more songs, but I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But this year, our German partners got a new hymnal. And so they have a new set of introits, and they include an antiphon every week. So now I'm working on adapting that music that the Germans are using to the Persian language so that we can sing the intro it also just to the same melodies that the Germans are using. So we always put like a German translation as well as English so that visitors who are there that don't speak Persian can also follow along with the service. So that's what our weekly slides look like. And then, so then my job is to lead the music and run the slides, and then I do run the live stream now since COVID as well. So, and then after our service in Leipzig, we actually go to another city about 60 miles away called Chemnitz. And this is one of my favorite stories. So it does not snow very much in our part of the world, like in Germany in general, or at least our part of Germany. It's like we've had some winters where it's like 40 degrees the whole time, and I had annual flowers that lasted from one summer to the next. So this was kind of out of character for Germany, and it was snowing, and we're driving to Chemnitz. And we usually don't have like a lot of time to spare to get to Chemnitz. So we're on the Autobahn, which you probably all know, unlimited speed limit, go as fast as you can. Yeah, we were going about 20 miles an hour. So I was a little bit, you know, I guess pessimistic. So this story doesn't look so good for me, but it looks great for these guys in the picture. So I said to Pastor Hugo, like, dude, what are we doing? Like, we're moving 20 miles an hour. We're going to be over an hour late for church. Is this really worth it? Is anyone going to be there? These are folks that came from the Middle East, and they're going to stand outside in the snow for an hour waiting to go to church. I mean, would any of you do that? I don't know. You don't have to raise your hands. But I didn't feel like I would do that. So when we pulled up, I was completely humbled, completely encouraged to see all of our friends there in Chemnitz waiting outside in the snow to hear God's word, to receive the Lord's Supper. So it was a beautiful moment and definitely a learning moment for me as well. So we had church within that day, and what this group started out as, some people from Leipzig moved to Chemnitz or to that area. They were relocated by the government to refugee housing facilities there, and we didn't want to just leave them with no services, no way to hear God's word, so we just started doing like an afternoon service there. And so as that group continued to grow and share God's word with people in their own refugee camps, and more people were coming, and we just saw how eager they were to learn, we decided, you know, we need like a Brook of Chemnitz. So we found an office space and rented it out, and we got the keys in March of 2020. So you all know what that means. We really couldn't do much for a while, but we found a new worship space because there's no church that we're connected to in that city. So we had to borrow church buildings from other churches. So we found another church right up around the corner from our new space. And so that's a great place where we were able to at least worship during COVID times. And then Now we're able to finally gather there too as well. So I'll share a little bit about kind of maybe what a typical day might be like for us there in Leipzig or Chemnitz, depending on which city we're in at the moment. But people love to gather and visit and drink tea, or chai as they call it. And we are available then during some just kind of open flex time of visiting, drinking tea, to also then answer questions. There's a lot of bureaucracy in Germany and a lot of paperwork that they just don't understand, you know? I mean, if you can imagine being forced to leave your home, being forced to go to a country where it's a completely new language that you've never heard before, a completely different culture, and trying to navigate all that, figure out how you're going to survive here, how you're going to get along, how you're going to have to live, and how you can get a job and a place to live and all those things. So those are the kinds of things that we're trying to help them navigate, figuring out, and just kind of walking alongside them. And those are things, if you know of refugees that are near you, that they might need as well, just being a friend and kind of helping them figure things out. You know, it's all stuff that maybe is commonplace to us or no big deal, but for them it's really challenging, so especially if they don't know the language yet. So, and we also now have, in addition to the Persians, we have some Ukrainians that have been coming in. It's a little different for them because they really hope that they're going to be able to go home, whereas the Iranians and Afghans will never go back. So this is a family that we connected with, and this is outside. There's a special welcome center set up just for Ukrainians in Leipzig now because there's so many. So they are using a school gymnasium hall to welcome them. So, but that's one of the things we'll do is help them get registered so that they can get resources, food, and a place to live. And, okay, this is the reason I have the dogs right here, this guy. We go with them to their court hearing. So they'll, when they first arrive, they apply for asylum, and a lot of times they're denied. So then they can appeal that decision within 2 weeks. Then they sometimes wait up to 2 or 3 years before their case is heard before a judge. So whenever they finally get called to come to court, then we go with them to support them and sometimes even speak on their behalf about their faith in Christ and their engagement in our church and all those types of things. So side note now to break away from the daily day activities in Leipzig, this guy, he did get asylum. He's got a job. He's doing really well. He's from Afghanistan. A year ago, or not quite a year ago, when all the stuff went down in Afghanistan, I'm sure you guys heard about it here, a bunch of people were airlifted out of Afghanistan and brought here to America, and among them were some of his nieces and nephews. And those nieces and nephews, they first went to Fort McCoy in Wisconsin, and I was actually here on home service visiting a church in Toma, and we tried to see if we could get in and connect with them and help them or provide them with anything, but they wouldn't let us. So I just was texting with the oldest nephew and keeping in touch with him, and then found out this week that they live here in Houston now. So this morning I had a Farsi class, Persian class, and I was sitting in the hotel lobby with these guys on my computer doing my class, and he texts and he said, "I'm here at the convention center to see you." So I got to meet his nephew here at the convention center. So I didn't have time. I just ran out the door to go meet him. I didn't want to waste time like bringing them back to the room. I thought I'd go see him and then have time to bring him back later. But then when we got here, we met Jim Lohman, and he gave him a wristband so we could show him around the conference. And then by the end, then I realized, like, okay, it's almost 3 now, so we have to go to the room. So, but anyway, it was a really, really cool thing to be able to meet him. He's not a Christian yet, but he knows that his brother's a Christian. And I showed him, like, this is all part of the church that your brother's a part of, or not brother, sorry, uncle. And I said, and you know, I'm here because of that. And so anyway, we're going to hopefully connect them to a church here and continue to minister to them and help them here. So other than that, we hang out, we practice German, we practice music and sing, and we do Bible studies in the Persian language as well as catechism classes. So that's actually a catechism. You got the Persian on one side and the German on the other. And then once people have gone through the class to learn about the Bible and the catechism, then they're baptized and confirmed. and are able to come to the Lord's Supper. And so this was the very first baptism that I witnessed after moving to Germany, and it's actually a couple of Afghan young men and a family from Iraq too. So hence we have the English, had the English for them, now they speak German. So and then here's another example of a baptism of a couple guys, one Iranian, one Afghan. And then, as I mentioned, there's a lot of time spent kind of waiting where they can't get jobs and they're waiting to see if they're going to get asylum. So we try to provide meaningful activities for them to become involved in. So one of those things that's been really helpful is the art group. So, hey, Elliot. Elliot. Do you want to grab him, Aaron? Come here, Elliot. Come here. You need to stay up front. Come here. Sit down. Come here. Sit down. All right. I'm going to hold you. All right. So they like to... So early on in the process, before anyone spoke Persian in our outreach center, this was especially helpful because they were they didn't speak German yet either, and we were trying to communicate, and this was a way for them to really express themselves, to process their experiences, to express their new faith in Christ. And so we've had some really neat art exhibits in our church, as well as in the community. There's a really cool street art festival in the fall. And on that street is one of our refugee homes where some of our women in the art group live. And so it's a really cool way for them to feel a part of the community. They opened up their home. This is the entryway to their courtyard and hung up a bunch of their art, made a bunch of Persian food in the courtyard to serve. And they do that every year now. So it's become an annual thing. So I mentioned before that we also have just in general a lot of kids around the neighborhood. The first day the Brucke opened its doors, there were just kids that showed up that were like, hey, what is this place? Can we come here? And so Pastor Hugo right away said, you know, we opened this for refugees, but this is another opportunity. All these kids that are kind of running around with nothing to occupy their time, they're needing help. And so this is the park right between our church and the outreach center. So a great way to just start engaging those kids is to get out some fun activity. I mean, who doesn't love a giant parachute, right? And then we invite them in for snacks, for a Bible story, for some music, singing, and we have a great time. And most of these kids come from atheist households, some of them also from Muslim households. So it's sometimes challenging, you know, to convince the parents it's okay for them to come and gather with Christians. But a lot of the kids have learned a lot and can say the Lord's Prayer and sing songs about Jesus, so it's pretty cool. We have another group of young adults that also come and hang out with us. It's another community to kind of help them navigate society. A lot of them have challenges as well. So, and then we invite German adults to come in and have some coffee or sit and visit. And so they enjoy that as well. And then once a month we do a little special event called the Turmsalon. We do a more deeper theme, a more structured theme and topic and devotion, and do a big meal. This happened to be Christmas time, so we pass out gifts to everyone. So, and then this is a little bit more what things looked like during the pandemic. We couldn't have as many people crammed into our small space, so we would set up coffee outside the church and just invite the neighbors to come and visit with us and have some coffee. And we also then had to do confirmation class and baptism classes on Zoom. So this is a confirmation class that I teach. It's actually to Persian children, but because they, even though they were born in Iran or Afghanistan, they are going to school in German. So they are learning to read and write German. They don't read the Persian script. So we're reading the Bible together in German and really teaching them from the ground up the basics of the Bible, because they're all brand new to the faith. So anybody know what story that is based on the picture or the names you see on the screen? You know? Yep, exactly. And Rebecca's getting Jacob all dressed up to go trick, or not Jacob, but yeah, Jacob, to go trick Isaac, yep. So, and then some of the special events that we do throughout the year, we'd love to take the kids away to a summer camp. They don't get out of the neighborhood much, so this gives them a chance to get out, explore new things like roasting this over a fire. Anybody know what that is? It's not marshmallows. I'd be surprised if any of you had ever roasted this over a fire. Not a banana. I think I heard it. It is, it's bread dough. So we bake bread over the fire, feed farm animals, go swimming and boating, although I didn't swim in that water, but the kids did. Do a lot of music, and most importantly, we get a lot of in-depth time to talk about God's word and to teach them about the Bible and about Jesus' love for them. So, and we also do a neighborhood festival, so we invite all the neighbors to come out to that park in front of the church. It's called Stadtteilfest, so the kids help us paint a big banner to hang up, and this year will be the first time that we're going to be able to have it since COVID, so we're super excited, getting plans ready for that. But it's a great way to connect with the neighbors, to invite them, and for them to get to know us to get to know them. We have a really good time. Here, this is another neighbor lady we really enjoy. She stops by for coffee a lot, and she's over 90 by now. But anytime I have a drum out, she's like all about it. She's great. She's what? Yeah, it's awesome. She's from Russia originally, and she's Jewish, but we talk to her about our faith as well. So see how the Spirit moves. And you've seen the Persian art, a little bit about their music. We're going to share a little more music in a minute, but the Persians are very expressive and creative, and so they also love expressing their faith through theater. So this was an example of that when they did a passion play a few years ago, which was really moving and impactful. And our Persian choir was invited to sing at the City Intercultural Festival in Leipzig. So this was for the whole city, so anybody could come, and we sang all original songs that were written by this guy right here, and they were all in Persian, but I was asked to provide translation, so I was able to say in there what all these songs were about, and so it was a great testimony to the community to say, like, they have found their true refuge and their hope in Christ. So, and we have a work group that we get together with. These two are missionaries from Finland that are also working with Persian refugees. And so we get together once in a while to try to collaborate, to share music ideas, to discuss how we want to kind of build the Persian liturgy and how that should look. So the German liturgy that we use is what was used to create TLH page 15 or LSB setting 3, if you know. Yep. Okay, so sometimes we just use those same melodies, the ones that you know, the ones that the Germans know, and we just make the words fit. So that's what we were doing in this picture. We chose a part of the liturgy. We said, let's just use the same melody and make the words fit. So I'm going to sing it for you, and I want to see if you know what it is. Okay, so let's see who can figure it out. Masi bare ye choda, kafare ye gonahe donya, bemaram kon. Anybody? O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world. So we'll actually sing that tomorrow in church. So now you can try to remember how it went in Persian. No. But I think it's a really helpful thing, because sometimes when you hear the next piece of liturgy, you'll understand this more. But sometimes the Germans, you know, they come in and they hear Farsi music, Persian music, and they're like, what's going on? What's this strange language in our church? Are there Muslims here singing? You know, they get a little like, argh. But as soon as they hear a melody they recognize, even though it's a strange language, they're like, oh, wait, okay, we know this. All right. So, but we don't want to just take all the German music and translate it, because it gives a little bit of a false idea, because sometimes they come and they say, oh, well, you know, in the Middle East, I was like a cultural Muslim because that's what I had to be there. And now I'm in the West, I'm in Europe, I'm in Germany. And so here the culture is to be Christian. But that's not what it is. So Christianity, worshiping Christ, is not confined to the German culture. We can worship Christ in any language, using any culture. And so we want them to understand that they can express their faith and worship Jesus using their own style of music, using their own language. So sometimes we take a piece of liturgy, since it's all right out of the Bible, we can just say, here's the scripture for this part of the liturgy. Sing that in a way that you think would be fitting for our worship. So we have taken, for example, the Nunc Dimittis, the Song of Simeon from Luke 2. Lord, let your servant depart in peace, for your word has been fulfilled. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before your people. So I'm going to sing that now, how this guy with his back to us with the hoodie, this is how he envisioned that part of scripture for our worship. Holy Chodavant, Batepkevaide Chod, Bande Atrobesalomat, Murachas Famo, Chon Cheshmonam, Nejati Toradidas, Nejati Kitoda Huzure, Hamiemelato, Amore Sachtei, Nuri Ke Afkare, Melele bigone rorushan sozar Vamoyege sabulande come to Esrail gadad Amin. You really got to hear him sing it, but little different than what you might hear in one of our churches, right? But to them, that's what worship sounds like, and that's meaningful to them. So so we try to do a little bit of a blend so it's not quite a shock to the German system. But for them to try to sing a chorale, like the straight notes and straight rhythm, that's really challenging to them. They don't understand music that way. They do a lot more movement and expressiveness. So, yeah. So another project we also work on is translating materials, so different books. You can see an example of that up here, the Child's Garden of Bible Stories. Some of you might know that book. If you want to look at the Persian version up here, just remember if you pick it up, it is already face up because they do read right to left. So a lot of people tend to put it down upside down. So, but it's always a joy to be able to distribute materials to new Christians in their own language so that they can grow in faith and understand God's love for them. So, yeah. So basically, this is my last slide here. And if we have time, we might sing a song together. But this is the top of our door at our church. And the words that go around the top, kommt her zu mir, alle, die ihr mühselig und beladen seid, ich will euch erquicken, comes from Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And we could stay here all day, and I could tell you story after story of the ways in which the people that we see are weary and burdened, and the difficulties they've had in life, the trauma that they've been through. And they've come to Germany because they want to find a way of freedom. They want to find a way of peace. They want to find a place to be safe. And they want to get a German passport and be able to stay legally. So we obviously want to help them with all those things, but we can't guarantee them a German passport. That's beyond our control. But what we can offer them is right here, that the arms of Jesus are open for them, that he is their sure and certain refuge where they can find eternal hope and peace and freedom and joy and refuge and a place in heaven one day. So that's what we can offer them, and we do everything we can to help them with all the other things, but ultimately we want them to know that refuge that we have in Christ. So is there time to sing a short song, or how much time do we have? We have 10 minutes? Okay, let's do it. It's a short one. A few weeks ago, I saw what the theme was for the service, and there's a song I knew that was based on that scripture, so I just decided to go for it and try translating it, and it's been approved by my teacher, so we can go ahead and sing it. So what we're going to do is it's in English, German, and Persian. I'm going to sing it first in Persian. This is how we do for the combined services with the Germans. We write out the Persian in like Latin letters so that they can follow along. Yeah, some of you might know it. It's called The Steadfast Love of the Lord. So I'll sing it once in Persian, and if you feel comfortable, please try to sing along. If you know the tune already, you can try to follow along the Persian words. And then we're going to sing it in German after that. So all of you who are comfortable with German can join in. And the third time through, we'll sing it in English. And by then, all of you will have heard the melody twice, and you'll be able to jump right in and sing along. All right? So here we go. Mohabbat Khuda ke sane mein aayat rahmat haaye u be payan hastan anar sab ta se an azim asma fadari u azim asma fadari. All right. Now together in German. Die Güte des Herrn hat kein Ende, kein Ende. Sein Erbarmen hört niemals auf. Sie sind neu jeden Morgen. Groß ist deine Treue, Gott mein Herr. Groß ist deine Treue. Now in English. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness, O Lord, great is thy faithfulness. All right, good job. Wow, great singing. So if there's any questions anyone has, I can take those now. Before I start taking questions, I just want to point out, if anyone has to leave, I do have some prayer cards up here if you want to take one. I think maybe David passed them out already, but there's also a place to sign up for my newsletter if you're interested in that, or come look at the map, or feel free to come up. Otherwise, yeah, let's do some questions. If you got to go, oh, you want to take a picture? Okay, that's fine. All right, first let's take a question here. Yes. Right, yeah. Yeah. Germany is usually a pretty popular place. In fact, we get people coming from other European countries to Germany. And those are the ones that then typically have to go into church asylum, which is a whole other thing to explain. But basically, whatever European country they get to first is where they're required to process their asylum case. And Germany tends to have the best benefits for refugees, and that's why a lot of them want to come to Germany. Yeah. And then if they don't want to stay, it's usually because they want to try to get here. So, yeah. So when they, so the government provides housing for them when they first come in. So it's usually like, if it's just a single person, like kind of dormitory style housing. So there might be like eight guys in a bunk room or something like that. Yep. So, mm-hmm. Oh, like for people to come to Germany and help. We've had some groups come, yeah. So that's definitely an option. If something you're interested in, grab my card and email me and we can plan something. Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.